Good morning, everyone. We're living in strange times, aren't we? Life is not normal anymore. Everything is turned on its head, and that is very disorientating. Our patterns have changed. There were several days this week when I have had no idea what day of the week it has been. Our behaviour has changed. Even I have taken to exercising once a day because Boris says I have to. Normal has changed. A picture the comedian and actress Miranda Hart put on her Instagram got me thinking. In the rush to... return to normal, use this time to consider what parts of normal are worth returning to. Interesting. The people of God through their history are well used to lives interrupted, to exile and exodus. There are many stories of people living their lives in places that no longer felt normal or home. The story of Daniel, which the children are looking at this morning. The story of Esther, of Jeremiah. The story of the people of God who overnight had to leave normality behind, as we hear in the story of the Exodus in Exodus chapter 12. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds, and as you have said, go. Drop everything and go." And so they did. And we know they were away from normal for a long time. Away from settled reassurance. They were on the move. And that's as unsettling as being made to stay put when you don't want to be. For Israel, God uses the journey to the promised land to guide the people from one set of normal to a new freedom-shaped normal. And that would shape the people of God to be the people that he wanted them to be. But it wasn't an easy journey. That picture from Miranda and the experience of the people of God in Exodus seemed to chime together in my mind. In every exile and Exodus story in Scripture, I see the same dynamic playing out. People far away from home having to reorientate themselves to God's bigger picture. And they have to learn three things. One, who they are. Two, whose they are. And three, who God is. How would you answer those three things in your life today? They had to learn who they are. The story of Exodus doesn't start with Moses saying, "Let my people go." It starts with Joseph and his people becoming enslaved in Egypt. By the time we get to Moses, a whole nation is in slavery. They've forgotten what living free and for God looked like. And Moses was in the same predicament. Exodus 2, verse 11 and 12 say this. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He loses his temper, he kills a man, and then he runs away. It wasn't so much that Moses was in Egypt that was the problem. It was the amount of Egypt in Moses that was the issue. He'd become too much like Egypt, the oppressor. And that had to change if God were to use him. Moses leaves Egypt and begins a process of learning to live outside the place, but learning to unlearn what he thought was normal, the values that he'd grown up with. He had to unlearn the things that he did not need to live by anymore. And he had to reorientate himself to God's way. And every time Moses steps out in risky obedience, not in his own strength, then God turns up. So in this time of enforced exile away, who are you? What do you need to be unlearning? What about your life, about my life, should be put down, unlearned, and not returned to? In this wilderness time that we have on our hands, what is God saying to you about what your new normal should be from now on? This week I took part in a webinar, and the presenter was speaking about the opportunity that we have as Christians in this time of lockdown, in this exile episode we're all living in. The opportunity to live well, to model shalom to one another. But she says the problem that we all have in our world, in our society, in the church, is that we're too used to self-medicating ourselves with busyness. Gosh, that really struck me as she said that. Self-medicating ourselves with busyness. That convicted me. And that's something that perhaps I have to unlearn and allow God to reshape and balance my life. And perhaps you do too, when this season of exile is over. So the people of God in exile and Exodus had to learn who they were, and they had to learn whose they were. Church feels different when you're not standing in the same space, worshipping God with one another. I am missing church. I'm sure you are too. And that was the experience too of the people of God later on in the story. When they're exiled to Babylon, the temple was still in Jerusalem, and they were temple-less. They could no longer go and offer their sacrifices, and they felt that they'd lost their identity as the people of God. Because in Babylon there wasn't a temple, and their heart of worship was gone. Psalm 137 speaks of their desolation by the rivers of Babylon. We sat and wept as we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while we are in a foreign land? I'm sure you heard that in a bony M voice. How could we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So the people of God had to relearn whose they were so they could worship in new ways. Perhaps it feels that way to you at the moment. How can we sing the Lord's song in this strange land of separateness that we are in? The people of God felt that way, but in time began to work out what was important to them. The Sabbath was kept whilst they were in exile. They followed the teachings of the law and the Torah. They saw as time went on that what they could still do together when they were away from the temple was to recognize the presence of God amongst them. There were still some things they could do, even when they were not home. And they realized that even though they had moved, God had not. And that exile experience of worship was lived out in different ways. In the book of Amos, God tells the people to stop singing until there's real worship. Worship that looks like justice rolled out like a river. In Jeremiah, in the exile, he tells the people to seek the welfare of this new city that God has placed them in. And so that tells me that it's more than possible to worship God whilst we're on our own form of exile. And it tells me that now is the time for the church to shine. We cannot easily sing our songs together, but we can offer God the kind of worship that he loves. Loving our neighbours, feeding the poor, being hope, being salt and light, being Jesus in the world at the moment, in whatever ways we can work out together. For example, the food bank, it's still operating in a different way, but it's still operating. When you buy food, when you go on that essential trip to the supermarket, perhaps put something extra in the trolley for the food bank. If you can't do that, perhaps give them some money. Perhaps consider how you can be blessing your neighbours at this time. Perhaps thinking about how you can bless those who are connecting with you on social media. So the people of God had to learn who they are. They had to learn whose they are. And they had to relearn who God was. I've been asked a couple of times this week by people I've had phone conversations with, where is God in this? I wonder if you've felt that too. And my response has been, God is right in the middle of this. He is here. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. He's not locked up in our closed church buildings. He never was. He is with us. That's the point of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He is beside us. He's with doctors and nurses in the NHS. He's on the front line with every key worker. He's with us in our homes. He has not changed. Even though we have moved location, he is still faithful, still loving, and merciful and kind, still bending an ear to hear us. This is the good news that we are still called to share. The good news that the God who made us and died for us on the cross in Jesus Christ cares about us and invites us into an eternal relationship with him. We are offered forgiveness from our sin on the cross. We are offered fresh hope. We are offered a new beginning. I'm reminded that there is more to life than the season we are living through. There is more to life than whether we can get flour or toilet rolls or gin in the supermarket. This is a temporary season we are in. We are in the journey to eternity, and we are called to be good news, with the good news of Jesus to stand as a banner of hope amidst the bad news around us. We have our part to play. We need to be a people who are returned to the bigger story of the God who connects us, who gives us hope. We are a people in exile and a people of hope for such a time as this. St. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 8. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love we have in God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. People of God, wherever you are gathered today, may you know who you are. May you know whose you are. And may you know who God is.